Welcome to Dig Deep on KAXE KBXE. It's our new series that takes the time to look at issues that matter to us in northern Minnesota. I'm Heidi Holton, and joining me are Aaron Brown and Chuck Marone. Their names are not just known to us, but regionally and nationally when it comes to issues of life in rural areas. Aaron Brown grew up on the Iron Range. He's a blogger, a newspaper columnist, and author. He's also the host of the Great Northern Radio Show. And Chuck Marone grew up in Brainerd. He's the president and the co-founder of Strong Towns. Aaron and Chuck are helping us begin this new series, Dig Deep, and today we're taking up the topic of the state of rural. Aaron, Chuck, thanks for being here today.
It's exciting. It's the maiden voyage.
There we go.
This is exciting. We've wanted to do this for a while, so I'm thrilled.
Well, I think we should start with kind of getting grounded in your backgrounds in terms of rural life, where you grew up. And let's start with Chuck first.
Really? Okay. Well, I am from Brainerd. Brainerd's central Minnesota, the biggest city in central Minnesota, right? The fireworks capital of Minnesota, I believe, when it comes to the 4th of July. My dad worked at the mill when I was a kid. And when I was about five, we moved to the family farm. It was a place that was homesteaded by my great-great-grandparents back in the early 1900s. And grew up there. There were a number of years where my dad worked at the mill. He got hurt and couldn't do that anymore. And by hurt, I mean like body cast kind of hurt, like multiple surgeries kind of hurt. And we lived off the farm. A while later, he went to school and was going to be an accountant and then decided he'd make a better teacher. And when I was in seventh grade, he became a teacher, elementary school teacher. My mom, who had been at home that whole time, went back to school then. And by the time I was nearing graduation of high school, became a teacher as well. I joined the Army when I was 17. Between my junior and senior year, I actually joined on my birthday so that I could do basic training that summer. And I left and went off into the big world. And did my time and then came back. I got a civil engineering degree in the University of Minnesota and moved back to my hometown and married my junior high girlfriend. And we've lived this like small town life ever since. I love the Brainerd Lakes area. I love living in a small town and I really, you know, love kind of the whole rural experience. I've had a lot of times where I've been invited to move to a city. And, you know, for college and stuff, I've done it, but I've always tried to get back when I could. So that's my bio. That's my background.
And you, Aaron Brown?
Well, I was born in Hibbing, in the old Hibbing General Hospital, one of the last babies born in the old hospital before it became the new hospital. And that hospital has since been torn down. So I like to tell people that the complete arc of my life will be to expire in the old folks' home that is now there in the precise physical location of my birth. That would be the full picture. We'll see if it happens. But my dad was a diesel mechanic. My mom was a homemaker. My dad was in tech school in the late 70s when he met my mother, who was a waitress at the A&W drive-in in Nashwalk. And they got married, and my dad was laid off from Cummins Diesel in Hibbing during the downturn of the 1980s. And we were scrappers after that, quite literally. My grandfather started a salvage yard, Brown & Sons Salvage, and I grew up on Highway 7 out in Zim, Minnesota. There was a big pile of junk and two trailer houses on the property. One of the trailer houses was filled to the ceiling with hubcaps, and the other one we lived in. And so people would come through looking for hubcaps. Anyway, so that's where I grew up. Went to Cherry, which is a very rural school outside of Hibbing, home of Gus Hall, the famed communist leader of the 20th century, the U.S. Communist Party. Cherry was a home of a lot of blacklisted Finns from the old labor battles of the early 1900s. And so that's where I grew up and went off to college to be a journalist. And actually got to be one. I actually worked my way through college as a journalist. I was lucky to get a radio job in high school, and then worked through as either on air or as a writer at different outfits, and got a job right out of college. And within 6 months, I was editor of the paper I was hired at, my hometown Hibbing Daily Tribune. And so at age 21, I was a newspaper editor for a daily in the middle of northern Minnesota. So I think that was a very, very formative experience. I'm not going to say it all went super well, but it went, I certainly learned a lot from it and still write a column for them to this day, never stopped. So I've got a continuous column since then. And now I went back to teach at Hibbing Community College. I teach speech and communication, and I write pretty much nonstop about issues related to northern Minnesota. And, of course, I branched out into the radio show, which is not entirely a news product, but we cover news and politics, culture, everything that matters to people. That's what I'm interested in.
Well, we're taking up this topic of rural in part because we're hearing about it everywhere after the presidential election. And I think it's interesting, you guys have similar backgrounds, but let's talk a little bit about if you were involved in politics early in your life and where you're coming from and grounded. This is not going to be conversations about politics, but I think it's good for us to know kind of a little bit about you.
Well, we agree 100% on politics, I think.
Right? We agree more than you'd think.
We do. I've been for many years on KXE. I was the Republican or the conservative side of the dialogue. And it's interesting because you know, knowing I was going to come and chat with you today, I was trying to think, like, how did this come about? Because I remember as a kid sneaking off to listen to Rush Limbaugh on AM radio. And that was a little bit subversive in my household. I grew up in a DFL household, like many people in this area. I remember my grandfather one time told me, this is a guy who grew up in the Depression and was in, you know, fought in World War II. He said, without FDR, I would have died, you know, like definitive statement, like you would be dead if it were not, you know, FDR had not been elected. And I thought that seemed a little crazy, but I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, you were there. I wasn't. But, you know, I remember growing up this kind of emphasis on working. And this kind of division that I think still is reflected a little bit today, that kind of culminated in the mid-1990s with the welfare to work legislation and all that, around, you know, welfare and working and what it meant to work. And there was a couple of moments of my childhood that came to my mind. One, we were always poor. My mom would pack these lunches for me from farm food, and I just hated it. I was a picky eater. And I wanted to eat the school food because really the school food looked a lot better. And I would ask, like, can I just have school lunch? Like, please. And my mom would always say, well, we don't have the money. Like, we can't afford it. And one day they had this handout at school where you could get free lunch if you, like, were under certain income thresholds. And I looked and, like, clearly we were way underneath, like, the lowest income threshold. And I went home and I was all excited. And I told my mom, like, look, I don't have to eat this junk you send me anymore. I can actually eat, like, school food. Like, look, I get it free. And I remember getting, like, slapped across the face. And it's like, don't let your dad hear you say that, right? Like, don't, like, no, that's not what we do. And I think by the time I became politically aware and politically active, there was a certain part of me, and it was activated with the, you know, Mitt Romney 47% comment a few years ago. I realized that that is what is, like, a wrong thing to say and why that is not exactly capture what is going on in America. But there was this, like, reptilian part of me back in there that, like, nodded, like, yeah, I get that. You know, we're a country of people who should work. And 47% are getting more than they're working and contributing. And there was a part of me that, like, identified with that. As simplistic as that is. So growing up, I, you know, cheered the Republican Revolution in 94. I really strongly identified as a Republican throughout my college and early working years. And really, it was a lot about kind of the way that I saw our country being the most successful with hardworking people being able to work and get ahead. It's been the last, like, decade or so that some of the disillusionment with that fantasy has kind of crept in. But you know, my basis is still in kind of this very conservative, you know, kind of, I think, old school kind of thinking about the value of work and the value of you know, market-based kind of systems.
That's Chuck Marone. You're listening to our new program, Dig Deep. We're taking a look at the state of rural. Here's Aaron Brown.
And as for me, I come from this my parents, my dad was, I guess you'd call him a libertarian. He certainly through my childhood, what I remember is he had no interest in the government, and he had no interest in particular in the local DFL. And my mom, however, was she's a very quiet, kind of almost a passive person, but she's a very, very intelligent woman and a very deep reader, very, very religious, but in this kind of St. Francis style of religion. So my dad would rant and rave, and my mom would give me a book. That was kind of where my political identity came from. So I think I have a streak of rustic individualism in me, which is perhaps where I agree. I end up commiserating with Chuck quite a bit. I think our backgrounds are quite similar in that way. We didn't have much money either, and we didn't eat hot lunch. But my mom had this sense of social good, and that coupled with the fact that, you know, we had some hard times at the house, and school was so important to me. It was so vitally important to me, and because I was so interested in knowledge, my teachers became like heroes to me. Almost all of them were, and I looked up to them so much. And so public schooling and public schools became an issue, and this was in the late 80s and early 90s, and it was just as the range, you know, localized depression was hitting everything, and I was watching decline. I was watching, you know, my favorite teachers get laid off. I was watching activities and things kids could do go away in real time, as it was like, this year we did this, next year you can't do this. And so I was really activated, and I remember we'd watch the news, and I think it was Paul Wellstone I saw on TV, and he was talking about, just a soundbite about public education. And I was 16. I'd just gotten my license, and I took the Cutlass Cruiser station wagon down to the DFL office the very next day and volunteered. And I remember I put in hundreds of hours that first, it was 96, I think. And I put hundreds of hours in campaigning that year. And then my dad voted straight ticket Republican. And my mom voted Democratic. But I just remember thinking, oh, geez, you know, because I had the signs.
I can't even convince my dad.
But what's funny is that how things have changed. You know, my dad has gotten remarried, and he's in Chisago County, of all places, one of the most conservative parts of the state, but he's the only guy on his road who votes Democratic now. But anyway, and like Chuck, I kind of went through this idealistic phase, I guess you'd say, that went for a long time, and I was involved with the DFL at the local level, and just gradually started tapering that off as I wanted to be more independent in how I wrote about the area. And so, and I'd say I was helping Tom Anzals, a friend of mine, with his campaigns, and he lost this past November. So I mark that as it's official. I am no longer going to be active in party politics. I'm ready to move on to I don't have a radically different ideology. I feel like I'm ready to enter a more open-minded part of my life where I'm not actively campaigning for candidates.
I think there's a certain, I don't want to speak for Aaron, I think there's a certain Gen X aspect to what we, our approach to as well, because we both do come at this from different kind of starting points and different perspectives. But there's also, I think, a little bit of us that is like fighting against the man. I mean, mm-hmm. I think part of growing up in my household was certainly this notion that the system's rigged against you, and all these other people are getting favors that you're not, and all these other people are like in positions to benefit from things and you're not. And then at some point I woke up and kind of realized, like, I'm the man now. Like I look around and like, I've got the professional job. I've got like the connections. I am actually probably more influential than, you know, almost everybody I ever grew up with. I am like the definition of the man now. And so I better like, you know, embrace that and understand it and not lose the understanding that I had that got me to this point.
I just remember in college, I had such a chip on my shoulder because I had to pay my own way and I had to work. And you could actually still just barely work your way through college. I emerged with very, very little debt just because I worked so much, but I had to because there was no other money. And I had such a, I tried to go to a private school for 1 year and pay my way through that. And I went to a kind of a mid-level private school down in Iowa. And I remember all of my classmates were these cast-offs from suburban Chicago who couldn't get into the good schools, but their family was loaded. And so there was all of this decadence around me, and it and it infuriated me. I was radical. I would have been radicalized had I stayed in that environment much longer, because I was so furious that I had to work so hard for the same experience that they were throwing away, you know?
Yeah, I joined the army to pay for school. I mean, that was, you know, there was a patriotic part of me too, but let's be honest, you know, if they weren't offering thousands of dollars for tuition and all that, my patriotism would have found a different outlet, I'm sure. But I remember being at school, and I remember meeting with my professors who, you know, even in the engineering department, tended to be more the man than I ever saw myself as being. And I remember one time this professor saying, well, you know, you really should take, you know, and he recommended like two other courses. And I said, well, are those required for me to get a degree? No. Well, then why in the world would I take them? I mean, I have to get out of here. This is costing me money. I have to get a job. I have to get on with my life. And it was a completely different experience. I did feel a lot different than my other classmates when I was getting my engineering degree.
Kind of bringing this around to, you know, what it means to be rural and Chuck and I's experiences growing up and living in this area. I think whether you come at this from a Democratic or a Republican side in terms of being rural, I think that experience explains a lot of the anger and frustration that we saw bubble up in our region, particularly this last election. But I'm not going to say it's brand new out of nowhere. I mean, it's been going on for a while. And the sense that, you know, this region, I believe, still values work. Like Chuck was talking about, you just want the opportunity to work, and that work should be rewarded with a baseline, a base level living that you can count on if you work hard. That was the part that, you know, we watched through automation of plants and machinery, through the changes in the economy and technology, and that guarantee that maybe existed for actually a relatively short time in American history, you know, post-World War II, when there was so much growth and prosperity at that time. But as we hit the 80s and it no longer became sustainable in our economic system, rural Minnesota, rural America, I won't say got left behind, but it just didn't have the tools to compete at the same level as these growing urban centers that now attract so much of the prosperity and growth just by virtue of, you know, self-compounding of what they do. And I think I've said in this past election, what's happened is that a bunch of people looked around and said, my kids can't have it any better than I had it. My kids might even have it worse. And I might have it. I certainly have it worse maybe than my parents had it at this age. And so it's like a frustration that hit.
You've been listening to Dig Deep, a new program, a new podcast featuring Aaron Brown and Chuck Marone on Northern Community Radio. We continue the conversation on the state of rural Wednesday morning at 8:10.
Come all you good workers, good news to you I'll tell of how the good old union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you?